Well, good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. I've been blessed. I've just been blessed this morning in all that was shared. We talk a lot about the hostages, and we should. But I just had to think as I sat there, and as Frank read the short report from Christian Aid. I don't know if you noticed, but they said to them, it seemed like December the 15th was God's timing. Now, was December the 15th God's timing so that we would have this to talk about this morning before Christmas? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe God's in control, and I wouldn't say that I stand here and know the mind of God. I don't. But I do believe that God is trying to get you and me to see that he's still a miracle worker today. You know, we've become so involved in science. We can do this. We can do that. Things that were impossible even 50 years ago. But there's still things that we highly depend on God for. Yet we don't always recognize that because there's so much we can do for ourselves. And so, yeah, I praise God that he saw fit to release them, to have them escape more than... Even more of a miracle than being released is that they walked out by the power of God under the nose, if you want to use that term, of their guards. Just like, I can't help but think of it that way, just like when Peter was in prison. There were three different guards. Peter was not going to escape. And you know what? God showed up. And Peter walked out of that prison. And his own testimony was, he thought it was a dream until he was outside the gate. And I'm putting it into everyday words. And then he realized that though this is not a dream, this is real. God showed up. And so I praise God that he showed up here in 2021 in our modern world to deliver his people. Welcome to the visitors. I hope you enjoy, and not only enjoy, but are blessed, encouraged, and challenged here this morning by the Word of God. The title of my message, which most of you know already, is What If You Had Been in the Christmas Story? And I'll just tell you right up front, this is going to be a little bit different message than I usually. Because it's going to involve a whole lot more of you than what I usually do. We're going to look at a number of different passages. I'm going to have you read them. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to expound long on them, but I'm going to point out a few key things for you to think about. So, I need volunteers. I would like a brother to read, and just raise your hand, and then I'll ask you to read it later. I need a brother to volunteer to read Luke chapter 1, verses 10 through 25. Okay? I need a sister to read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I have back there, and then I also need a sister to read Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56, so that will be yours. And I need a man to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Larry? Okay. We know this story well. I've heard this ever since I can remember. I can probably recite most of it without even reading. However, there's a problem with us, at least me, and I know Bible stories, and I read them, and I think they're great, especially the Christmas one, maybe more so, but I don't often stop to think about what if it had been me? What if God would ask me to do something, and I'll just use, Sam alluded to Nehemiah, I'll just use that. What if God would ask me to do what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah makes a wonderful story, but we sure miss the blood, sweat, and tears when we read it in the scripture. It sounds wonderful. This happened, we prayed, and then that happened. And it did, factually, historically, but that's surely not what it felt like to him. Surely it didn't feel that way. So my challenge this morning to you is, what if you had been part of the Christmas story? What would it look like? Let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 10 to 25.
He was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will give him the name of John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which had come true at their proper time." And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
Thank you. What if you were going around about your daily business and an angel showed up and promised you something that you had desired for a long time, but that you considered impossible? What if? Would you be like Zacharias? And there's another part to that question, but I'll leave it hang a few minutes. Would your response be what Zacharias's was? God's giving you what you have asked for. He's literally answering your prayers from years. And I'm making up some facts because I don't know for certain. Zechariah isn't here to say we prayed about it for years. But I feel fairly confident they did. And the Lord shows up to answer their prayers. Gabriel shows up. And Zechariah says, how will I know? How will I know? Now, I need to point out one thing here, because I'm setting the stage for later. What Zacharias was promised was not unprecedented. This shouldn't have taken a huge amount of faith, because Zacharias knew the Old Testament, and we all know this happened to Abraham and Sarah. This was not without precedent, what Gabriel promised Zacharias. It happened to Abraham, almost identical to what was promised. And Zechariah said, how will I know? And immediately Gabriel comes back and says, and I want you to note, Gabriel didn't say, I stood. Gabriel says, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, implying that God was there. He was God's representative. The point I'm making is, God showed up, and Zechariah missed him. Zechariah missed him. He showed up to give him exactly what he had asked for. And Zechariah said, how will I know, God? How do I know that you'll do this? Even something that seemed impossible to him, but again, was not without precedent in history. Here's my question. I'm going to ask a few questions this morning. Can you trust God for the impossible? And I know, if not all of us, most of us would say we can. Yeah, I can trust God for the impossible. But here's the real thing. The question comes to me just like Zacharias. Will I and do I? I know I can, but will I and do I trust God for the impossible? All right, let's have Luke 1, 26 to 38 read.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Thank you. Couple things before we really look at this, and that is we first have to understand the culture and the setting. Mary was probably between 12 and 15 years old. She might have been as much as 18, but it would be unlikely. Joseph was probably between 15 and 20. Again, that's not a proven fact, but it would be highly unlikely in that culture, outside of those parameters. If you were a 15-year-old woman, young woman, and an angel came to you and said what Gabriel said to Mary, what would your response be? And I couldn't help, as I was sitting there this morning and you talked about the youth and having them involved and the blessing that it is and encouraging them, the youth are a valid part of God's kingdom. God didn't pick a 30-year-old woman to be Jesus' mother, or even a 25-year-old one. And again, I know I'm going out on a limb, but culturally, the facts would support that Mary was probably a teenager. Remember also that in that culture, pregnancy outside of marriage was often punished by death. What would Mary say to Joseph? And I think that question was asked in Sunday school this morning, it was raised. What's she going to say? I'm sure he's going to buy the story that she tells him, that an angel came and prophesied this, and now I'm with child. He's quite certain it isn't his child. I mean, the Christmas story sounds really wonderful till you put yourself in their shoes. And then it's not quite so wonderful anymore. What really blesses me in this kind of negative picture that I'm painting is Mary's response. Note, Mary also asked, how will this be? Words don't give tone of voice, so we don't know how she asked it. But we know by Gabriel's response, contrasted against his response to Zechariah, that it was with a different tone of voice. Because Mary was saying, this is without precedent, okay? This didn't happen to Abraham. Mary's saying, how can this happen? It's not humanly possible. And Gabriel responded different than he did for Zacharias. He answered her question. He said, the holy thing that will be conceived of thee will be conceived by the Holy Ghost. And it still isn't any easier to believe. And Mary's response is, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. There's some things I'm not talking about that I'm going to talk about next, but here are the questions. Can you trust your future and your reputation to God? Can you? And if you can, do you? And bigger than that, are you willing to be his man or his woman, regardless of the personal cost? And if you are you doing it? All right, Matthew 1:18-25. Run here, Larry.
Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you. So now you're Joseph. You're walking in his shoes. Your fiance just comes and tells you that she's pregnant. You know it's not your child. She has some story about an angel appearing to her and how the baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who ever heard of anything like that? Sounds like a story, a good one, right? Culture demands that you have a choice. You can divorce her, break off the engagement, just to be technical, because they wouldn't have been married and their marriage wasn't consummated. Or if you're a real hardline, righteous man, you have her stoned. By Joseph's response, we know that he loved Mary. It says, he being a just man, and what I read a little bit into that, considering that outside the realm of believability, what she's saying may be true, he has given her the benefit of the doubt. He would divorce her quietly and not make her a public spectacle. It's a pretty hard decision if you're Joseph. This isn't no Bible story. This is real life. Joseph goes to bed. We know as men, he probably twisted and tossed and turned. He finally falls asleep. He has a dream. The angel says to him, what Mary's telling you is true. It's not a story. It's true. He believes it. And I'm going to go out on a limb again here. He wakes up relieved. It's true. And immediately, following the relief, reality hits him. And this is another part that we miss. That will doom him and Mary to a life of being outcasts, sinners, despised people by the religious and the righteous, because this doesn't happen. It's not possible. People of disrepute, people look down their noses at for the remainder of their life. Question is, are you willing to trust a close friend or companion when what they say or do is not logical? Do you? Will you trust someone as Joseph trusted Mary when what she told him was not logical? And bigger than that, are you then willing to stand with them, to protect them, to walk with them, to suffer with them at a great cost to yourself? Are you willing to do that? Do you do that? Somehow this beautiful story, when viewed this way, doesn't look all that glamorous. It really don't. It looks like it came at a pretty high cost to some people. And I didn't even mention, and I don't want to go off on a bunny trail too far here, we don't even stop to think what it would be like for Christ to come down to earth, take on the form of man, and live as a 2 or 3 or 4 year old. Don't sound like much fun. That's another aside. Now, that was a negative part. Now we're going to hear the positive part. Luke 39 to 56. It's right here.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Thank you. So despite all the negative I told you about, and just picture Mary, 15-year-old girl who's now reviled by everybody around her, she walks into the house at Elizabeth and Zechariah, and don't miss this point, she hasn't said a word yet, and Elizabeth goes off. She does. Mary has said nothing, and Elizabeth goes off on this. "Why should the mother of my Lord visit me?" They didn't have cell phones, by the way. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They had no real way that Elizabeth would know what was going on, except one thing they had that we have, and even more, we have it in abundance now, is the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth prophesied under the power of the Holy Spirit before Mary ever said a word. And it moves us emotionally, doesn't it? It does. It moves us emotionally. Why? Because even though, as I pointed out, we don't often think about the cost in the Christmas story, we know it exists subconsciously. We know it does. We know it couldn't have been easy. We know it couldn't have been fun. And then there's this joyous moment where the Holy Spirit shows up, and it's all worth it. It's worth it. My question, one of them, I'm going to have a little more to say, but I am blessed by Mary's response here again, where she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." She said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Here she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." My question to you this morning and to me is, does my soul magnify the Lord? Does it? Does my soul magnify the Lord? Despite all the negativity, despite all the pain, despite all the reviling that these people faced, the brightness and the glory of God was the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we miss it today, brothers and sisters. They lived that side of Calvary. We live this side of the Calvary. Here we see a picture of the Holy Spirit showing up, but they didn't have the promise of the Holy Spirit to live in their heart day in and day out like we do. We are so blessed. All we really need to do is ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and believe. In their case, the Holy Spirit showed up at times. We read it all throughout the Old Testament, but it wasn't there every day, all the time, as we have the blessing of having it. Our joy, like theirs, should be in that, what the Holy Spirit can do in us and through us. As I move into closing, I'm going to read a couple verses out of Malachi. Malachi 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This we often hear at Christmas in reference to Christ. And then Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written for them, written before him, of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I wake up my treasured possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares a son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. They shall be mine, says the Lord. What a blessing and a promise. I think we all want that spoken of us this morning. They shall be mine. We are God's. Just as we see here in the example of Elizabeth and Mary. They were his. And he goes on to say, and then again you will see the distinction of the righteous and the wicked. We don't read the passage about Mary and Elizabeth and wonder about their commitment to God. We don't wonder about their salvation. We don't wonder where they are this morning. Why? Because they're God's. And it's obvious. It is obvious in the story who they belong to. It speaks for their testimony, speaks for itself. I leave you with this. Despite everything negative in this world, and there's plenty we could complain about, is Jesus, are you Christ this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? This morning, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zacharias, they're all in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They've been for a long time in our way of reckoning time. And they've forgotten that life was pretty hard. And it was. Life was pretty hard for Mary and Joseph especially. You know, again, we don't know this for certain, but Joseph probably didn't live to see the crucifixion. We take that from Jesus speaking to Mary from the cross and what he spoke to her and John. Life had been difficult and hard, and it continued to be that for Mary. But that doesn't matter this morning. That's all past. They stand in the presence of the King of the Kings, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But more than that, what I'm calling us to is the rejoicing of being filled with the Holy Spirit and finding themselves at a place where the Spirit could use them and they were willing, regardless of the cost. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. I thank God for their faithfulness, for their willingness to be his men and his women. But then the question comes down to me and to you. Am I willing to be God's man? And if you're a woman, are you willing to be God's woman, regardless of the cost? Are you willing to let him have his way with you? And I have to ask this question. Could God have the confidence in you this morning that he had in Mary? When God sent Gabriel to Mary, he knew what her answer would be. And would say, oh, well, he would because he was God. And that's true. But he also would because he knew who Mary was. How does God know who Jason is this morning? And what about you? Would he have the confidence to send Gabriel to you and ask you to do something almost supernatural and know that you would be willing to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord? If you believe he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, are you letting him be Lord of your life? Because that's essentially what they did. He was Lord of Mary's life and Joseph's. It didn't matter the cost. He was still Lord. And my final question is, if you believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is he Lord of your life? And are you his man or are you his woman? Can he count on you this morning? Here in 2021, as we go into the Christmas season, what would have it been like if God had chosen you to be part of the Christmas story? Let's pray. Father, we pause in adoration and humility before you this morning, recognizing that you are God, that you still move in the hearts of men and women. You still accomplish your purpose, sometimes through miracles, as we observed this week and heard this morning. Father, help us to have a simple faith that makes you Lord of our life, where we are willing to be your servant, regardless of the cost, where we weigh what you desire as our Creator and our Lord above what we experience here, this side of eternity, as human beings. Father, help us as we go out throughout the week of celebration to joy in the blessings that you have so abundantly poured out upon us, and yet recognize that it all comes from your hand, and that we are thankful for it, the way you have poured it out upon us. Father, help us to be light, as we already heard this morning, in a dark world, to take the message of salvation and light, as was thousands of years ago brought to the world today. Father, I pray especially for this congregation here at Calvary. I pray your blessing on them. And as they reorganize and regroup, Father, I pray that you would guide and direct them. I pray for the team, the leadership team. Bless them with wisdom, your grace, your strength, your insight as they give leadership. Father, I pray for the body. Bind us together in your love. Make us your people, not for our glory, but for your glory and the benefit of your kingdom. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's have a song and then I'll stand up and close.